shirt on and your brown coat too. Everybody's joining the crew at the Geek Tank. At the Geek Tank, Rocky Mountain Geek Tank.
Hi, I'm Guy.
Hi, I'm Troy.
And this is Geek Tank Season 2.
Your shamed-sized podcast.
How big is that? I mean, that would be like...
I'm ashamed to say.
Yeah, me too.
So, this came up because I read an interesting article called The Fun Shaming Must Stop! I'm not going to scream it, though. It was written by, I'm going to mispronounce his last name, Klaus Rosted, R-A-A-S-T-E-D. Rosted.
Like a Rastafarian?
So it was, and he originally posted it on a website called Be Yourself. It's supposed to be yourself, but they left the E out of self and the O-U out of your. So it's B-E-Y-R-S-L-F. That's not where I found it, though. I had found it because another person, Laura Lawson from Huffington Post, reposted it there.
Right, right.
So to jump into it, I'm going to quote the part of his article here. In this day and age, there are so many different forms of entertainment available so that no matter who you are, especially if you're a privileged, able-bodied person with some income, you have insane choices in what to spend your leisure time on.
Right.
It's so amazing to have all these options so that we tend to forget a few things. We forget what it's like not to have unlimited options, and we tend to be very selective in our choices. The first is privilege speaking. The second has a lot to do with identity. And he goes on to say, in a world where everyone watched the same three TV stations, that was America in the 50s and 60s, for example, you didn't get a lot of identity from watching a certain TV show.
Right.
So many people watched MASH in the 70s in the U.S. that it didn't mean much to say, I watched it. Everyone else did as well. Anyway, now watching a super popular TV show like Game of Thrones says something about you, which in this day and age. So even though it's a super popular show, you kind of says something about your identity if you watch it.
That's an interesting thing.
So, end quote, I guess I should say.
And I know we're working on fun shaming this one, but I wanted to digress because I read that and I thought, that's an interesting observation.
Yes.
The difference between three station America and 4,000 zillion quadrillion station America.
Yes.
The advent of cable probably has more of an impact on geekdom than we are giving it credit for.
Well, I mean, you and I actually saw the same Japanese anime first on cable TV.
Right.
And neither of us knew what the heck it was.
Right. So, and you're building a model from it.
I'm building a model from it, yes.
But, I mean, it's the same, and we're referring to, by the way, Nausicaä and the Valley of the Wind, which is a Studio Ghibli film. But anyway, it is interesting that observation... That really made me think, because when you're talking about Trekkies, the original Trekkies, they had to be at the certain place at a certain time to watch episodes of Star Trek, and I remember meeting people in the 70s and the 80s who had missed one episode of Star Trek. There was one that they're still trying to find a way to find it, you know, they hadn't seen it,
right?
They'd only heard about it from their friends, and it's a fascinating thing to think that, you know, to be a Trekkie and not have seen episode 41 or whatever.
Yeah, because even when it hit syndication, if I remember correctly, the TV Guide still wasn't that great. By the way, for you youngsters, TV Guide was a mini magazine produced, I think, each week. Or was it monthly? I think it was each week.
It might have been monthly.
One or the other.
Every 2 weeks. I think it was 2 weeks because it would say, you know, April 7th through 14th and 14th through 28th.
Correct.
Something like that.
I believe so. And then that was your only real ways to know it was going to be on television was if you wanted a detailed version to be TV Guide.
Right.
Also, the local newspapers would put a TV listing guide in their paper.
Sure.
And even having those to your access, knowing in syndication when that specific episode of Star Trek was going to air was quite a task.
For the longest time, Wolf in the Fold was that way with me. Somehow, I managed to miss that episode of Star Trek for a long time, even in syndication. And it's so weird because now when I watch that episode, it feels like the lost episode of Star Trek to me because I just missed it. In syndication cycle, I would constantly miss it. And as many times as I was watching Star Trek, that's kind of an amazing thing. it's not one of the better Star Trek episodes, so I'll bet you whoever was randomly placing Star Trek episodes in there, he'd skip it because it wasn't a good episode or whatever. But it is still interesting, and that's something that no one else is really going to experience from this point forward. I mean, I'm right now, I finally got my cable system squared away to a new whatever, and I now have Sci-Fi. So I'm finally catching up on The Expanse. I love that book series, but I've missed the show. But I'm watching each and every episode in order. There's no missing episodes.
And it really didn't take much effort at all to do.
It didn't take any effort at all. Just
money.
Yeah. And I just needed to change my cable subscription so I'd get Sci-Fi. And that's it.
Yeah, so back in the day, you had to really work hard to get to things that were not mainstream like that. And it was such a niche group that it was rare to be a part of that.
Yeah.
And who knows, you could have been a Star Trek fan but not know it because you hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's fascinating. He talks about that, how we have better choices now as geeks.
Yes.
I mean, because I can be a Game of Thrones geek, and or I could be a Star Trek geek, or I can be whatever. But there's now all these different breeds of geek, I guess you could say, you know. And we're all now, and of course, that's what this whole podcast is about.
Yeah, is, covering
know,
as much of that
all
as we
of those
can.
Different
yeah.
geekdoms.
Yeah, but I mean, he went on to say something like there are so many things now available, and it runs the gambit of collecting Russian nesting dolls to being a hobby, to buying the $10 t-shirts from like Busted Tea and advertising all your random geekness and funny t-shirts. There's just so many different things that, unless if you have unlimited funding and unlimited space in your house, you can't do it all.
Right.
So you get to pick the things that, and why would you? You'd have to have a crazy amount of interest to do that. But I'm sure there's somebody that does. But
yeah.
But for the most part, people have their little locked and targeted thing that they like.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. So, with this established thing that we have established now...
Is it established?
It's established.
Is it an establishment of
establishment? It's an establishment of an establishment.
Okay.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism. Now we're talking about what he's bringing up, which is you have all of these different kinds of fun.
Right.
And you have these elitist groups, which we've brought up before... The Star Wars geeks that don't the Star Trek geeks, the Star Trek geeks that don't like the Star Wars geeks.
Or the Star Trek geeks that ostracize the ones who like the Kelvin.
Right, the Kelvin timeline.
Which happened to you.
Right. I got kicked off of an entire webpage for that because I said, it's not that bad. And I'm like, you just kicked me off for it's not that bad? Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was to them trolling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no.
So that they were
so
shaming
weird.
You. They were shaming you for something that not even that you necessarily found it fun, but you didn't have a distaste for it.
Right. And actually, with Beyond, I'm actually coming around to liking the Kelvin timeline. You know, and
all of a sudden there's like one listener who just stopped listening.
Yeah.
Or they're cursing your name.
Right.
For that,
so. I mean, it's weird because I don't need to be shamed.
No, it's the core of this is. Making fun of something or someone specific, actually making fun of people or a person for the things that they like.
Exactly.
And the core of what Klaus was saying, sorry, I'm glancing at my notes here real quick because it's the separating the important ideology and opinions from taste.
Right.
So it's essentially saying, oh, because you like this, then your ideology and your opinions must be X. And I am against X because of that.
And it's an interest. That's another interesting thing to talk about with this, because as a Trekkie, a lot of my core ideologies are in alignment with other Trekkies. We have a hopeful, positive outlook in the future and the way things work. We believe in live and let live, very much to the Prime Directive sort of concept. You know, there's a lot of stuff where the show has influenced our operations of thinking, and so one could judge us on being Trekkies.
Well, part of the core of stereotyping, and the reason stereotyping I think exists, is because at a tiny level, it's true.
Right.
You can
make
certain...
Well, it's like the best lies are based in truth.
Exactly. You can make certain determinations off of certain things, although you, to be a well-rounded human being, you need to not assume that it's everything.
Right.
So when someone says they're a Trekkie, I can make the prediction that they're probably not racist.
Right.
Because that's one of the core ideologies of Star Trek.
Right.
However, I would not be surprised if there's not racist Star Trek fans
we
out there.
We have a few of them.
So
I mean, and we're running into it right now with Discovery, because we've got Shaniqua Martin-Green, who's obviously black and female, and we're getting that rough patch.
Oh.
And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Did you guys forget Nichelle Nichols? Did you forget Sisko?
I mean, it's like...
Avery Brooks? He's not Sisko, he's Avery Brooks.
And it's not that you're running into it overtly. You're running into it very... Oh, this show's not going to work. Well, why is it not going to work? Well, I can already tell.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you get them dodging.
But you wait. It happens as soon as somebody talks about Shaniqua Martin-Green. Then it's, well, the show, I already don't like it. Because of Shaniqua Martin-Green? Yeah. Did you watch her in Walking Dead? No, I haven't seen her in Walking Dead. How do you know what she is as an actress?
Yeah.
I mean, me personally... And you know, because you've been there with me
right.
while we've been watching Walking Dead, I've been really scrutinizing her as an actress over the last few episodes of Walking Dead, because I really want to know. She's about to take on my franchise. Does she have the capability? And I've come to the conclusion, yeah, she is more than capable to hold that show together.
She has a range of emotions, which is what an actor needs. She can portray what her character's feeling.
What I love about her is that she's really good at being extremely subtle with her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Her eyes can
her
portray
facial expressions,
everything.
Yep.
And she's so good at that. And she knows how to control her face to do that just perfectly. So you read her and you're like, oh crap, she's upset. But she didn't do anything. I mean, she's just her eyes are like, I'm upset. And you're like, oh wow. Or you're going to die, or whatever. She's so good at that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a Trekkie, but I was already a little bit interested in the new one because I'm in jonesing for a Star Trek to fill
right.
the gap that the movies haven't filled. And once I heard she was involved, I got more interested.
Uh-huh.
Then when I heard Michelle Yeoh's involved, I got super interested.
Right.
So.
Right. And then I've been hearing other things like they're going to have Harry Mudd in it. So... You know what? We should go to a break, and
okay.
then we can come back and talk more about Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. That wasn't what we were talking about, was it? Oh, we'll be back right after this.
I'm Amy Reeder, creator of Rocket Girl and Moon Girl. You can find me at Amy Reeder on Twitter, and you're listening to Geek Tank.
And we're back.
So we're at our favorite Starbucks on First and Wadsworth, and we're talking about
fans of fun shaming. I'm a fan of fun.
Well, what kind of idiot are you?
I don't know. That kind of idiot.
Yeah.
So we've
digressed a couple of times because he's brought up a number of things that have really sparked some interesting branches off of this. But the core of this is. Talking about shaming people who are of a different branch of fun.
Yeah, talking down about someone's fandom.
Right.
And I must admit...
Because we've talked about shaming in its own way in a couple of times, but this is a different thing. We're talking about assessing you by your fandom and dismissing your agency because of your fandom.
In a negative way
that makes
people feel bad. And
right.
I must admit... I was more guilty of this before. I was still somewhat guilty of this when I read it, and it occurred to me, yeah, there are things that I think are stupid, and I don't take into account how that would make someone else feel
right.
by belittling their fandom. And so it's made me a better person, made me a better fan, made me a better geek. Twilight is what I'm guilty of.
Right.
And I haven't even watched them.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, where's
and
the
yet,
fairness
yet,
in that?
And the thing is that it's sort of become in to hate on Twilight.
It has.
I mean, even George Takei, who's like he's really big on equating all of our fandoms. I mean, George Takei and Carrie Fisher would spend forever trying to keep those two fandoms from yelling at each other because Star Wars versus Star Trek is classic.
Yes.
That's a classic fandom fight.
Which is funny, having within my circles, I don't see that fight. And
no,
we have clear hardcore Wars, Star Wars fans like our engineer Kevin and clearly hardcore Star Trek fans as yourself. And
we get along just fine.
In fact,
we argue political.
Exactly.
But we never argue Star Wars versus Star Trek. But one of the things that I know that you're talking about that, but another one that gets a lot of grief are bronies.
Right.
And the bronies are the ones that I think of all the time when we talk about really fan shaming.
Mm-hmm.
Because bronies, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term bronies, it's men specifically, although there are women,
mm-hmm.
It's men specifically that like My Little Pony,
well,
the cartoon series.
I think the reason bronies is the best definition of it is because at that level, that gender is given the most shame at
right.
that age
and
for
so
liking it.
I think that really the women call themselves bronies in solidarity. So I think the female bronies... I've heard women call themselves bronies. So I know that it's a portmanteau of ponies and bros.
Right.
So I know that we're talking about... The implication is males, but the entire group now calls themselves bronies, including females.
Oh, okay.
And I think that, I mean, and correct us if we're wrong, because this is not my
field. You can write to us
at questions@RockyMountainGeekTake.com. But my feeling, my impression from the brief interactions I've had with bronies is that the females aren't actually looked down on for being fans of My Little Pony. And so in solidarity, they're kind of calling themselves bronies to be in solidarity with the males who don't like it. That's my impression. Or the males who are, males who are shamed for it. And that's sort of my impression. So
right.
I'm not 100% sure about that. And like I said, it's not my fandom. And if you guys have something you want, you know, if you think we're off base, totally tell us about it.
Yeah, we apologize for not having a representative
of bronies on here. I've got a couple of friends that are like either edge bronies or like full-out bronies, but they don't want to talk about it or something.
I might have a friend that's a brony and not know because they're ashamed to talk about it.
They're ashamed to talk about it.
So.
And that's another one of those listed under boys wear blue and girls wear pink.
Yes.
It's that weird, you know, boys can't like My Little Ponies because ponies is a girl show.
It's such an outdated thing that for some reason is hanging on. In fact, I'm not going to mention any names or clues to who this person is because I don't have permission from them to talk about
right.
it. But I know a kid who doesn't want other kids to know that they watch My Little Pony
right.
or a Strawberry Shortcake or anything like that because of the social stigma of it.
Right.
They're a boy. And they think that they're going to be made fun of. And they're probably quite right. They'll most likely be made fun of that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that's a shame. And I've actually watched a couple of episodes of My Little Pony because it's one of my favorite voice actors who voices apparently every cartoon in the world is Tara Strong.
Right.
And she does one of the voices, of course, because she does everything. But the humor there, it does what a cartoon should do. There's situations and humor that adults can appreciate as well. So if you wanted to watch it with your child, you could and not feel like it's something ridiculously watered
right,
down for
right.
yourself. But it's a stupid thing that still exists, and I'm hoping I don't die before this changes more in society that we don't have that.
Yeah, me too. I completely agree. I mean, I know that my son has read Strawberry Shortcake books, and he's got a couple of the comic books from Strawberry Shortcake that he likes. And it's because we got them on Free Comic Book Day. And he really digs it. He likes it. And I'm not going to discourage him on that.
Yep.
Because the artwork is much better now. And that would be really the only thing that I would start to get grumpy about is, you know, bad artwork. I always have a problem with bad artwork.
Yeah, that's one of your pet peeves.
That's my pet peeve.
You actually have a hard time getting into something even if the story's really awesome.
If the artwork's bad. There are a few exceptions. XKCD I've gotten over.
Okay.
And I'm starting to slowly get over South Park. But
very, very slowly.
But it's been a long, hard fight.
I can get
fight.
It. It's like food.
Yeah.
You want food to look good. So no matter how great it tastes, if it looks horrible, you're not going to taste it.
Right. Right. Well, and I admit openly I'm a snob when it comes to artwork. I'm an artwork snob. And And it's kind of the same thing as food. Well, you were making that analogy. I've often said that I don't eat anything but really chocolate stuff, chocolate cake and stuff like that, because it's all bad for me. So I can pick and choose. I can be picky. And not to say that artwork's all bad for me, but there's so much out there that I can pick and choose. But here is where I bring us back to our topic.
All right. I'm here.
I don't like the artwork of South Park, but I don't mind that you do like that.
And I know for the sake of the example, I'll say I like the artwork.
Yeah.
So that way it
works. Just so you have the example.
When really I'm complacent about the artwork.
Right. Well, and I don't think it's as big of a deal for you.
No.
For you, the story has been much more important than the presentation.
It's kind of the reverse. The artwork could be beautiful in something, and if the story is sucky, I can barely stick with it.
Right. Whereas I'll sit there and watch it as eye candy.
Yeah.
And just write it off as I like this for its eye candiness and not necessarily for its deep story. And I'll even warn you off. I'll say, oh, yeah, well, this is a pretty thing, but it's got nothing as far as the story
goes.
In
these examples, and I'm speaking for you, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, we don't belittle other people for liking really bad stories in that aspect. Now, here's the thing that comes back to Twilight. For the longest time, I'm like, yeah, I really don't want to watch that. And I hopefully did not inadvertently make people feel bad that do like it.
Right.
And really, it's all based off of sparkly vampires. Just hearing about that really made me think, well, this is going to be horrible.
It's because you've got a vampire concept in your head that it's violating.
Which also concept in my head is vampires are mean and evil, which
violated.
But which they violated in an interesting way.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Buffy has violated Spike.
Well, goodness gracious.
But we don't want to talk about that.
This is a PG-13 show.
Yeah.
Are we doing okay on time? Yeah, we're totally doing fine for a time.
Yeah, but
so,
I
wanted to come back to bronies.
I think that's an important point that you're making there.
I wanted to come back to bronies because I think another thing that turn or cause people to shame bronies is they see a connection between bronies and a fetish called furries. Although there may be, it's not directly linked, and to assume that would be wrong.
Well, and I think that part of this is that particular article that we're referencing, he put a picture of a guy who's this big bulky. He works out clearly because
he's very good shape.
Yeah, he's in great shape, and he's dressed in a unitard with a tail
he's
and
cosplaying,
little wings.
He's cosplaying My Little Pony.
Bronies.
Doesn't, and which is not necessarily someone who's into the furry thing either.
Well, no, because he's not wearing anything furry. I'm noticing that he's got a unitard, so it's not a furry thing.
You know, my extent of knowledge on that community is entirely from CSI called Fur and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I hate to say this, but me too.
Okay, but even shaming that, because I don't want it to sound like I'm shaming that part of the community.
Well, no, but even CSI kind of, I mean, there was a lot of music in it. I mean, they weren't treating it with
I felt the episode started that way, but then the characters learned.
Yeah.
So they were kind of showing, here's what the general society thinks, and by the detectives looking into it, they learned about it.
Well, we've got a lot of those with CSI, specifically Vegas, like Changes, which is another episode where they talk about LGBT and...
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's transgender and people like that. They were dealing with that. And it was the same way. The episode starts out with, what? How are these people? They're really weird. And then by the end, they're like, wait, now we got it.
They're people.
They're people. And that one actually won them an award for it.
Neat.
That episode won an award because they handled it well.
I'm going to write it down because I like the show a lot. I'm going to have to look up that episode.
It's Changes.
This will take a minute.
Which is like the song. You know what? While you're writing that down, we should,
go for a break, maybe?
Maybe.
I'll write it down and then look some
stuff up. You write it down and we'll come back,
Don't go changing on us.
Exactly.
Be right back after this.
From Act Out Games, and you can find me at youtube.com/actoutgames as well as my educational channel at youtube.com/bitesizeddu, and this is Geek Tank.
And we're back.
We are at our favorite Starbucks, and today's topic is Fun Shaming Must Stop, an article written by Klaus Rosted. If you'd like to find it, just Google search. The title of the article is The Fun Shaming Must Stop! Exclamation point. And you'll most likely find it on Huffington Post, which is where I found it, HuffPost.
Yeah.
And if you're going to read it, which I recommend you do, just be aware there are some F-bombs and language that he uses there, because he's very emotional about it, as he should be, I guess.
Yeah, you can do
that. So the nerd label itself, which it was nerd before geek, and then geek kind of became synonymous with it back when we were young, just being called a nerd or liking anything nerd was looked down upon and stigmatized.
Right. You were, if you were a nerd, you were 98 pounds, you know, you wore plaid shirts and plaid pants.
There was something wrong with you.
You had a pocket protector, yep, and you had glasses with tape on it. I mean, it was like...
You most, by the stereotype, you did not like sports or anything athletic.
Yeah, exactly.
Which
is one of those things, because like I said, I've known a number of geeks that are sports geeks.
Yeah.
And the numbers that they... Like my mom.
Your mom.
Who could rattle off...
Your mom was an athlete? I know, yeah, she's a sports geek.
She was a sports geek, though.
But she was also into sci-fi, right?
She was. I mean, she's between her and my dad, I got into Star Trek because of them.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, some of my earliest memories were laying on the couch with my mom watching Star Trek in the afternoons when it was here on what now is Channel 4, here but it was KOA back then.
What's interesting is the professional athletes, too, that are geeks and not being ashamed to say, hey, I play D&D. Like Vin Diesel, who's...
Vin Diesel does that a lot. Wouldn't it be an awesome game to be in?
Oh, yeah. And there's a football player whose name's totally ran away from me, who was talking about how he plays D&D, and he's done several geek things as well. He was on an episode of a YouTube show I like called Spell Slingers, where he plays Magic the Gathering.
Right.
And that. But
right. I heard that recently... Felicia Day did a game.
Oh, Felicia Day and Alec Tudyk did Two-Headed Giant on that same show, yes. And versus the host and her brother.
Right. So it's like that. I've got to actually watch that. Just the thought of Alan Tudyk playing Magic.
Oh, yeah. And he's hilarious as always.
Of course he is. He's Alan Tudyk.
But back when computers first came out, if you had anything to do with computers, you were automatically a nerd or a geek.
Right.
And that's... idea of that has now, since it's gone, what has taken its place is now within these cliques disliking other cliques of the same thing.
Right.
And it's like, oh, well, you like red lightsabers? Well, you must not know what you're doing. And
it's really bizarre.
It is.
And I wonder if it's because of because as he was saying, the population of people... There's a lady who's coughing, and I'm really worried about her, so I'm getting distracted.
Oh.
I hope she survives it. I think she swallowed crooked, and I'm worried. She looks like she's not dead yet, so we're good.
Stop shaming her cough.
I'm not shaming her cough. I'm just concerned about her cough.
Okay.
I'm shaming your fandom. I'm not shaming your fandom.
I'm a fan
of
coughing.
I'm just concerned of your Star Wars. Anyway. Sure. But...
But
anyway,
what he's saying is that there's so many different things now
that you can pick and choose.
Yeah, maybe it's a selfish thing of, well, you don't like it the way I like it, or you don't like the specific thing I like, so we can't be compatible.
Right, right. And maybe that is, but it still feels like I know what I was thinking. I'm trying to pick up the train that I was headed on. The thought process we did in our first segment, where we were talking about judging your personal beliefs on something because of... I actually had this happen. I got into a discussion, as I oft do on Facebook, that was political. And one of my friends said, well, but you're a Trekkie, so naturally you believe in a utopian society.
Oh, well.
And I was like, huh? And I was being judged that I didn't believe in capitalism because I was a Trekkie. Or that I believe that we should be a utopia or a moneyless society because I'm a Trekkie. That doesn't mean that I don't think that we could work on a moneyless society. I think we could, but it would still have to be a meritocracy of some sort. But still, it was a weird thing. My views were
dismissed. That's a huge leap
right.
to make.
They were dismissed because I'm clearly a utopian because of Star Trek. And I thought, that's a weird... And in fact, it caused pause in the entire thread. I think everybody went, huh? Yeah, for a moment there.
I was watching... it was a Star Trek thing that... And I'm forgetting the name. It was a documentary that was created by Roddenberry's son.
Rod.
And I can't remember the name of it now. I've been saving it so you and I can watch it together. Okay. But I needed to throw something on that we could just listen to because my son and I were building models last night. And... my wife came in while he was talking about the utopian society thing, and my wife was like, well, we're moving further away from that now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and to some degree,
said,
that's...
You only believe that because you're a Trekkie.
Right. But it's an interesting thing. So it's not just shaming the person because they're wearing a funny outfit now. There is a level of shaming a person because... Well, if you're a brony, bronies all believe X, so therefore you must believe X, and therefore I can't be your friend. Mm-hmm. It's almost an extension of our weird political alignment now, which is you're on the right, so since I'm on the left, I can't be your friend. You're on the left, and since I'm on the right, I can't be your friend. That
so
extension
what would
of
be
that.
Be the equivalent of racism, but it applying to fanism? Fandomism? Geekism?
I don't know. I mean, because the problem is that racism is something you can't choose. I can't choose white. I can't choose to be black. Therefore, it's inappropriate to be racist.
Right. It doesn't quite, but it's a prejudice. It's a prejudice to geekdoms.
Right. Except that, well, and that is true. It's, but on the same token, I think that's more of a presumption, not a prejudice.
Well, in some
because
cases, they
choose.
But
right?
Even if they do apply, it may not, it may be. You liking one thing that obviously you could see the benefit of a society that's not ran on capitalism, that is a utopian society.
Right, and it's not like Star Trek hasn't like thumbed its Ferengi nose at capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it, they've got an entire race of people to thumb their nose at capitalism.
Right,
but what I'm trying to say is that you choose your fandom.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't choose you necessarily.
My fandom chose me. No,
right.
Just kidding.
But, I mean, you choose your fandom, so to some degree, I feel like it's an appropriate thing to judge you on a fandom if you're going to judge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's appropriate to be mean or cruel, but I can say, you know, I could see, I don't think I would, but I could see judging. I mean, I don't think it's the same thing as racism.
Also, fandoms are so varied. To presume that the Utopian Society is the thing you like most about Star Trek.
Right.
When really it's space exploration.
That's a presumption.
Well, you've told me that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's...
but that
well, no. But I mean, I'm saying that's different than... I feel like that's a different thing than racism.
Well, yeah, but prejudice is the word I think I was looking for.
Prejudice is what I was
Because it's
for.
Prejudging you on something without knowing.
And by literal definition, you're right.
And so it'd be kind of like, oh, you watch the Broncos, then you must be a dumb jock who doesn't
right.
know anything, which is one, it's shaming jocks.
Well, my mom was a dumb that. Jock, yeah. She,
I don't think your mom was dumb in the slightest, and I've never even really met her.
She wasn't even really a jock either, which is why it's funny.
Okay.
I just like the idea of my mom being, you know, 6'3" and, you know, snapping towels at me all the time.
But that's
a stereotype too. I mean, jock is just as much a stereotype as geek,
which is a latent mental knee-jerk reaction of the being the nerds versus jocks and having those few jocks be mean to me as a nerd, or me seeing them being mean to other because I didn't fit the typical nerd physical the way that people look at me and go, "Oh, you're a nerd." I'm surprised because I didn't look like what their brain had thought a nerd would look like. Because I was into sword fighting, so I was athletic, but I saw no benefit in running a ball from one end of the field to another end of the field. But getting my sword past an opponent's sword and poking them in the head or the chest was really competitive, and I loved that part.
Right.
But it was still there because my friends fit
the quote-unquote
stereotype.
Yeah, but you sneer at putting a sword in the front of a spaceship.
Well, you did that.
It was even my fandom, too.
Yeah, you made fun of you shamed yourself.
I shamed me.
But it's
is me shaming appropriate? I mean, really?
Well, if anybody has the right to, it's you.
That's true.
Shame yourself. But this is interesting in a way that I saw where the writer of the thing said, you can't make these assumptions about tastes, but you can about being a liberal or a Republican. And I thought, wait a minute now.
Now, wait a minute.
This is something I've seen interesting, and I'm guilty of this as well, of letting my brain slip into the Republican equals X.
Right.
And I am against X, therefore I'm against Republicans. I've met really cool Republicans that don't follow the stereotypical negative reflection of that ideology, just like the majority of liberals I know don't fit the negative image that most Republicans tend to have, or some. I shouldn't say most because I haven't done a tally. But you have this, what the media says Republicans are and what liberals are, and therefore none shall meet in between. And that's not the case from what I've seen in real life.
Right.
And it's
well, and
political
of course,
shaming.
It is. It's the same sort of thing. I mean, I've had that discussion with you before, too, where I was talking to my dad, and I said something, and mm-hmm. I said, oh, I don't think that's a good idea. And he's like, wait a minute, but you're a liberal. Aren't you supposed to like that idea? And I'm like, and he was serious.
Yeah.
If he was joking, it would have been one thing, but he was serious. And I personally think that's probably at the core of our political problem there is this, you are one side of the political spectrum or the other. You're required by law to believe everything that's, you know, and especially all of the weird crap.
It's like, or someone will take your liberal card away from you or something. And it's because I think guns are a really interesting engineered weapon that are amazingly efficient at being a weapon for killing things because you squeeze a trigger and point it and something dies if you don't miss. But I think that if you can prove that you're skilled as a citizen and you're responsible, then you should have one.
Yeah.
Which goes against our Constitution, which automatically puts me on the liberal side, and all of a sudden Troy wants to take all of our guns away.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're not listening to me. You're looking at the label. But it's what's interesting with our engineer, we get to see the opposite side. And so I get to kind of self-check my echo chamber by seeing his echo chamber.
Right. Well, and that's one of those things. He's a great example of that whole thing because I listened to him talk about what I'm supposed to have been believing in.
Right.
And I'm like, really? Because that's an interesting thing. And, you know, most of the time what he has heard on the radio that I'm supposed to be believing in is completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the first step, you know, is the us versus them. The first step that oozes in is making you into something horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. I mean, is it because we still see that if you're a geek, you're still on our side of the cave? You know what I mean? I mean, as opposed to being a them, you know? Because
I don't think I would have had the opportunity to learn from him and associate with him had he not had a geekdom for us to have the common ground for us to stand on.
That's what I'm thinking. We've decided that our family is defined by whether you like spaceships, rockets, you know, wizards,
mm-hmm.
and ponies, and whatever is in that geekdom. We've decided those are our family. But We have always sort of had a traditional hatred of jocks, as far as the classes between geeks and jocks.
Well, as we've gotten older and matured,
gotten
older.
Well, you and I have.
Right.
But, I mean, when we were in the 80s, that was a classic fight. I mean, they made a whole movie about it. You know, and it's like, they make a number of movies about revenging of the nerds.
Mm-hmm. Which completely put nerds in a horrible light.
And it didn't do jocks any good either.
Nope.
And all it really did was just open the stereotype. So I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of pushing about here.
Well, we're trying to find our conclusion to this. And really, it's the...
Don't do it.
Don't... Yeah.
Stop. With an exclamation point.
It's bad. Okay. It's... to bring it back to South Park. But it's one of those things that everybody is different, and you need to judge them individually and not apply labels to them.
Right, which is hard to do. I mean, this
human nature
easy.
Is labeling.
Right. Well, and that's because there's just too much information. And maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe the reason why we consolidate and label as humans, the reason our brain does that, is because there's just too much data. You know, you can't sit there and know every brand of car just to drive a car. You know, that's not pertinent information. So you have cars and you have not cars, people mm-hmm. and bicycles. And you don't sit there and go, well, I was turning left and there was this guy on a Schwinn. And the guy was a black guy. And the black guy was also listening to specifically smooth jazz. And I mean, you don't have that kind of data. You just have dude on a bicycle. And you may even not even have dude. You may have person on bicycle. And that's because we have to consolidate for all the data that we're being inputted on. And it makes me wonder, do we have to consolidate all of our fandoms? I mean, now that he was saying there's so many fandoms,
right,
that we consolidate, maybe that's the thing. Maybe we just are instinctually trying to break it down into smaller groups because we feel like there's just too much information. When in reality, we don't have the urgency on this. It's not like you have to decide between bronies and Star Wars people before you run them over with your car.
I run over everybody. I'm an equal opportunity.
Yeah, you're an equal opportunity run over. Dude. But I mean, maybe that's what we're looking at. Maybe we're just looking at a natural consolidation in the brain.
And maybe, maybe it's an instinctual survival trait to categorize and us versus them weirdness.
Right. And as older geeks, we didn't have that much. And that's what he was talking about earlier in his article. We didn't have that much. We just had Star Trek and not Star Trek pretty much effectively for a long time. And then we had Star Wars and Star Trek and not Star Wars and Star Trek. And then it blossomed in the 80s.
And before that, you had all the sci-fi novels, which people looked down upon, people reading those books. You actually
but we
had
were
a
still
whole,
all, yeah. It was all still five of us and that cat. You know what I mean? It was just not a lot of people. And so,
well, at that point, too, there was a whole division of the, you read books, what's wrong with you?
Right, right.
Type weirdness. We have a television now, why are you reading a book? You should be watching MASH.
Right.
Everybody watches MASH.
Huh. So maybe that's it.
I think...
That's my theory.
The takeaway here is before you start putting down a fandom, or especially a person with that fandom, switch fandoms to something you like and think about how you would feel. So that way you can approach it from a logical side like Spock would.
So you're saying
what would Spock
watch
do?
1,000 hours in their TV?
No. I just broke the improv rule. No.
No. No, I'm stupid guy.
I'm just saying, you know, I'm going to do now. I'm not going to just come right out and say Twilight's stupid. For one, I haven't seen it. I'm just going to say, you know, it doesn't fit my tastes.
Right. I haven't seen any My Little Pony, so I make no judgments to the bronies. I just assume that they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And even if I do see it and don't like it.
Yeah. As long as you're not hurting other people.
Yeah. Dress like a pony.
Without their adult consent, which is defined then in that case. Then things should be good.
And
that
dress like a pony, dress like a
respect
planet.
Respect people.
Care.
Respect.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be promoting respect within the geek community. And that's exactly what this whole thing was for, and it took me until now to get to that.
Right. Well, there you go. And that with lots of extra that is all the time we have for today. Yeah. I've been Guy.
I've been Troy.
And this is Geek Tank. Talk to us on Twitter at @RMGeekTank or Facebook at Facebook.com/Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. You can always email us at questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
You can find us on iTunes and Google Play. Please give us stars. You can also find us on YouTube. Just look for Rocky Mountain Geek Tank on there and find our channel, subscribe to it, and like the videos that you like.
Geek Tank is a production of Foxblade Media and is protected under the Creative Commons 3.0 license. Your hosts today were Guy S. Davis and C. Troy Floor. Kevin Weibler is our engineer, and our music was composed by David Coyle. If you like what you are hearing, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/Foxblade. I'm Mike Davis, reminding you that it's Be Kind to Aliens Week. Good night.
Okay, and thanks for sticking with us to hear our AUA.
Ask us anything. Hey, we actually have a question and don't have to use our random question generator.
Yeah, so we don't even get to do the bleep and bloops. That's kind of sad.
Well, we do bleeps and bloops enough.
Yeah, that's true. Our question today comes in by some guy named C.T. Fleur.
C.T. Fleur. Fleur T. Fleur.
Yeah, it's... So C.T. Who names their kids C.T.? I mean, it's like CAT scan.
Well, it's like the circus.
Oh, that's true.
Something, something, Barnum and Circus or whatever.
Barnum and Bailey. Who names their kid Barnum and Bailey?
I don't know.
It's like Barnacle Bailey. I mean,
sucker born every minute.
That's true.
So the question is, what geeky thing are you ashamed of?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That is a really good question.
So I was thinking that with geeky wife, geekdom wise, I'm proud of all my geekdoms.
Yeah, me too.
You're proud of my geekdoms? Thank you.
I'm proud of all your geekdoms too.
Thank you.
Of course, in a
weird way, it's like the geek-wise, the thing I'm ashamed of is that there's stuff I haven't seen that I know I would love that I have, like Babylon 5. I haven't seen Babylon 5 yet. I want to see The Expanse, like for a while, but there's just a lot of shows.
The Expanse.
There's a lot of shows I want to watch and books I should have read as a geek that I haven't gotten to, but it's not because I don't want to. So that doesn't fit.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't advertise to people, which I'm advertising now to people because we said ask us anything, so I guess we're going to answer. Is
even if it is a goofy guy named CT.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Just letters in the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
I watch, not regularly, but I do have my DVR set to record when I get a chance, which is to watch The View. Which, for those of you who don't know, it's a political show hosted by Whoopi Goldberg, an all-woman
Guinan
panel. Yep, Guinan. It's an all-female panel.
Yeah.
And they run the gamut of course, Whoopi Goldberg's extremely liberal in her views. And what's interesting is she sits on the left, screen left of the table, and you go five women down, and then they have their extreme right person on the panel. So they represent both sides.
Well, that's kind of cool.
And but I never knew her views and her political views matched mine so well. And I just kind of turned on a lark and discovered I really like watching this show.
Yeah.
So it's but I know since it's an all-female panel, that there are people, I feel weird if I were to admit that to just a bunch of people.
Because it sounds like you're watching soap operas.
Right, yeah, it kind of opens up.
Something.
It's automatically going to lead to political stuff. And so just to avoid political discussions. So I guess that's what I'd be pseudo ashamed of, which I shouldn't be.
Right.
But.
Well, I mean, the point isn't, you know. Well, I don't know, because, like, you know, I'm ashamed of all my ninja midget porn. Ninja midget porn.
Nidget
porn.
No, I think that's offensive to ninjas.
No, actually, I spent some time thinking about this, and I think really the thing that I'm most ashamed, I guess, if you will, is liking. I like the pinup art, the Frank Frazetta, Boris Vallejo.
Those are classic arts too. Well,
it's not just the classic because it's the modern stuff too.
Oh, okay.
It's just that, you know, like Witchblade and things like that. I like the artwork when I'm duly and at my core offended by the lack of agency that they give those characters. I still like the artwork.
Yeah, it's right up 100%.
And it's
objectifying females.
It's objectifying, and I find that offensive as a person, yet I still, as an artist, really like the artwork. And that, I think that's probably the thing that I'm the most ashamed of.
To me, in my opinion, I think that kind of just taps into the animal part of the brain.
Yeah.
That we as humans have to learn to control and realize why we shouldn't give into that.
Right. And I mean, I don't give into it. I don't eat that stuff. You know, I was going to eat the paper, but
you avoid drawing it too.
Yes, I do. I can't draw it.
As a creator, you respect women,
right? Like the person who likes artwork in my brain observes it, but my muse will not accept it.
I wonder,
I can't draw that.
I have not a complete collection, but I have some of artwork collections of Frazetta's work in card form in a book. Along with my Olivia, who's a fantastic airbrush.
I love Olivia. Yeah. And I've actually liked her page on Facebook. And I'm disturbed by all the times she has to blot out nipples and things like that because she's Olivia.
I could see people saying that she objectifies women even though...
She does. She totally does.
Yeah.
And truthfully, that's a really weird line. We can bring it up sometime because there's... A woman has a right to objectify herself. In my book, that is totally fine. As long as she has agency, we're okay.
We could do a whole topic on agency.
We should. In fact, agency should be a topic because I would love to discuss that.
We absolutely need a female to represent the female community.
No,
fine.
We take away their agency
first.
You
didn't let me finish. Okay, we absolutely need a female, and I'm finished.
No, I'm talking over you.
Oh, that was all I was going to say. So we need a female.
Where are we going to get a girl?
That's a callback. Only 10 people will even maybe know.
Okay.
But I wonder if that's related because at the time of your development as a human was when you were exposed to Frazetta's work and such. that it just and locked itself
VHO
in your brain.
And various people like that. And I'm talking, when I talk about Viejo, I'm not talking about his work when he did Conan and things like that.
Although that as well.
That is on that type of thing, but I'm talking about his Playboy pinups and stuff like that. Phenomenal artwork, phenomenal brushwork, the way he does it and his proportions and everything. But it's totally objectifying.
He used bodybuilders as models.
Yes.
So something.
Well, and so does Alex Ross.
You know, I know that because on the back of the cards it has little trivia about Well, okay. You should write to us and tell us what geeky fandom thing that you are ashamed of. And
exactly.
And write to us. We promise not to post it.
Yes. Or we promise to strip the name and not say C.T. Fleur. Or maybe they're all C.T. Fleur.
I bet they all are.
They probably all are.
You could also write us your questions. Ask us anything.
At questions@RockyMountainGeekTank.com.
Thanks.